This is a Wild Games Production podcast.
Hey folks, Vince the Evil DM here, back with another episode of Roll for Initiative Podcast, episode number 13 or 14. I'm losing track of numbers at this point because I'm recording them sometimes in bulk. Thank you for all the wonderful emails and tweets and everything like that. Supporting the Roll for Initiative Podcast, it's a great podcast about talking about Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. So if it's your first time here, welcome to the fray. Settle back, listen in for a couple minute. Little anecdote about AD&D, a little discussion about the rules, something to wet your palate and let you go on for the day. That's basically what this is, just a little mini podcast of what the Roll for Initiative podcast used to be. Anyway, I did get a voicemail from Goblin's Henchman talking about actually something of his name, Henchman. So let's take a listen to that.
Hi Vince, Goblin's Henchman here. Just a quick question about Henchman. I was listening to an episode, I think it was Questing Beast, and one of the guests on the show said that in AD&D 1st Edition, I think they were referring to 1st Edition, maybe they were referring to 2nd Edition, they said the maximum number of henchmen you could have, that represents how many you can have in your whole lifetime, not how many you can have at once. It kind of surprised me, and he sounded fairly certain that's what he thought it meant. So I don't know whether you have any insight on that. It would make it more interesting that, you know, if you burn your henchmen up, that's it, in a long campaign. But I always assumed it meant the total you can have at any one time. So, you know, one of the henchmen dies, bring in a new one. All right, cheers, bye.
So, all right, thanks for the question. Looking at the rules in the player's handbook under charisma, we do see some information about henchmen and maximum number of henchmen. And I think this fella on Questing Beast, maybe this comes down to an interpretation of the rules or a DM interpretation of the rules. You always like a page number. So page 13, right under the charisma table, right above it and right next to it. The charisma stat, it absolutely dictates the total number of henchmen a character is able to retain. Now, when I see the word retain, that leads me to believe on the ability to hold at one point or, you know, organize at one point. So the maximum number of henchmen I can have at any one given time would be based on my charisma. So if I have a charisma of, let's say, 18, I can have a total number of actual henchmen of 15 at one point. So if some of them die or run off, I could replace them somehow. I don't see why you could not replace them. In fact, the actual maximum number of henchmen states the number of non-player characters who will serve as permanent retainers of the player character. It does not affect the number of mercenary soldiers, men-at-arms, servitors, and similar persons in the pay of the character. There's also other terms like retainers, hirelings, and followers, which also are a bunch of terms that were thrown around in 1E and basic D&D that confuse the heck out of people. So maybe he was thinking of followers? Because followers are different than henchmen. They're a different status level. They're a little bit above a henchman. Those are the people that are like, you know, followers. They believe in you. They, no matter what you do, you're awesome. You're great. Henchmen are somewhat lower status than that. They believe in your cause. They just want a piece of the pie. They're like, hey, we heard all the stories about John the Great Beard. So we're going to follow John the Great Beard, and hopefully he will experience those adventures with John the Great Beard and get all the gold that he has, because they expect gold and stuff like that. Followers really don't expect much. They follow you based on, well, basically the stories they heard. They think of you as pretty much a god. so to speak. Think of all the people, you know, that followed all the crazy people in the world, like Jonestown or something like that. They really didn't expect much from him. They dedicated their lives to living in that compound because they thought he could bring them a wonderful new life, which sadly did not end that way. But henchmen, yeah, I understand he's fairly certain what he said on Questing Beast, and I don't doubt his decision as a DM or a player or a person. He just misinterpreted it or interpreted it the way he wanted to read it. Again, the best thing about Advanced Dungeons & Dragons and Basic, for that matter, is a lot of it is DM fiat. It's just an adjudication. You read the rules, you interpret it the way you want in your world. And that's also another great thing about it. It doesn't break the game in this situation. If you as the DM want to have this maximum number of henchmen, as this is the all-time maximum you can have, regardless of what happens to you, the henchmen, so when they die off, too bad, you don't get any more. Or, in your campaign, you could be like, yeah, you can only have, like, 2 or 3 because of your charisma score, whatever number it is. And then, you know, say one of them dies off or runs away or whatever, yeah, you can get another one and replace them. It doesn't break the game. It really does not. So, again, it's up to the DM to interpret this and decide on his own what he really wants to do. That's really all I have to say about that, because no one is really, truly wrong. I mean, if you want to really get into it, which I know you're not trying to cause an argument, but if you really want to get into it, retain means to hold it one time, or to hold at that time. So basically the maximum number of henchmen I can have at one time is this number. That is the strict interpretation of the rules right there. So is he wrong? Maybe. I don't know. It's his game, his world, his rules. He can do whatever the heck he wants. If he wants to do that, then good. Groovy on him, man. Wizards of the Coast, who owns 1E, is not going to come running over to his house because they can care less about 1E. Remember, everything prior to the 2014 is no longer canon or is bad now. So Wizards of the Coast can go stick it. But I don't think anybody from TSR alumni is going to be barking up your tree. I don't think Tim Kask or Frank Menzer is really going to care what you do at your table as long as you're playing the game and supporting whatever they're doing at the current time. So even if you're not supporting them, they're not going to care anyway, so. Well, hopefully that answered your question, Goblins. I appreciate the voicemail, as always. Anybody else who wants to leave a voicemail, head over to anchor.fm/theevildm and click that little button, and you can leave a voicemail. Ask the DM at theevildm.com, or you can head over to theevildm.com itself and click contact at the very top of the page there, and you can leave a quick email for me if you want. You can also check out my website, theevildm.com, and you can follow me along with my Twilight 2000 solo play that I've just started. I'm in the planning phases of that right now. It's something new that I'm trying, and I thought it'd be kind of interesting to do in downtime, play a game that no one else really wants to play, Twilight 2000. So, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there going, I want to play, but I play with a certain amount of people, and I don't just play with anyone. Yeah, I'm a gatekeeper. Ooh. Anyway, with that said, I'm going to head out. So keep it original, keep it old school, and good night, everybody.